is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
But unbelief kept them from obeying the Lord. They didn't believe Him enough to do things His way, and so they missed out. Now get this, because they didn't do it God's way, that whole generation that was afraid to trust the Lord and let God take care of the situation, that whole generation, they didn't just delay the promises, they removed themselves completely from ever enjoying the promises. They missed out completely. If we don't do what we need to do, our part, by faith, we don't get to enjoy the rest that comes from it.
You will only truly experience rest in the Lord if you go out of your way to get it. Today, Pastor Troy explains the importance of seeking out Jesus and giving your life to Him. The Lord has great desires for you and wishes to use you for the glory of His kingdom. Problem is, you'll likely get in His way. When you do, you'll slowly peel yourself back from the intentions that He has for you. To avoid this, make it a point to seek out Jesus daily. Find His will for you and pursue it with all your heart. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, talking about the promise of rest. It's a good promise, this promise of rest. I think we often confuse that promise with sleep. That's the way we've defined rest. I'm going to get some sleep. God's promised me sleep. But no, you know, there's a rest that you can have even when you're busy, even when you're working. It's just relaxing. And for some, there are some things that you do like to do. My dad, I don't know why, but he loved to just go out and tear a car apart and put it back together. That relaxed him. I can't say that about me. You know, I don't know how you can relax when after the end of putting it all together, I guess you got two bolts. You go, wow, who cares? I'm relaxed. But it relaxed him. And we all have things that'll relax us. But God says, I've got something that you can rest in. I've got something that will relax you. In this chapter, the author of Hebrews explains that the picture of the Israelites entering into Canaan was a picture of the abundant life of rest and victory that is available to the believer today. There are songs about this entry, you know, crossing the Jordan and going into the promised land, swing low for one. Swing low, sweet chariot, speaks about the angels coming to carry you to the other side. The other side of the Jordan, equating the promised land on the other side of the Jordan with heaven. And for so long, so many have assumed that's the rest we're talking about. But God actually promises a rest today. In this chapter, the author says the rest God wants us to enter isn't just for the future, one day, when you cross the Jordan and you're in heaven. No, when you cross the Jordan and you're in His will, there is rest. And we ought to trust Him so that we can enter that rest. The land of Canaan can't be pictured as heaven. Because if the land of Canaan were a picture of heaven, there are some problems, big problems with that. Because when they entered Canaan, when they crossed over, there were battles to fight. When they crossed over, there were trials. There were heartaches. There were enemies, opposition. And if that's what we can expect in heaven, who needs it? I got that here. Instead, it speaks of the victorious life, the rest available to us today who believe. In chapter 3, the author says, spoke about unbelief and how it's what kept a whole generation of Israelites from entering that rest, from going in. They didn't believe him, so they didn't go in and fight the fight that led to their rest. And he says that we have an opportunity today to enter that rest. But that we too, if we act in unbelief, can miss out on that rest. Or he also adds in there, or if we're led away by the deceitfulness of sin, we can miss that rest. Now I pray that I'm talking to individuals who would like to enter that rest, that this is something important, because this is the instruction that we have today. How important it is to enter that rest, how we enter it, when we can enter that rest. Verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The way we enter this rest is by faith. This is the world that exists by faith, by trusting in the Lord. Though chaos may ensue around you, you can still be in perfect peace. You can have this sense of peace with the Lord that he's got this under control. He says the promise of God's rest is still valid today. What does today mean? Well, he's saying it meant today then, but they didn't enter his rest, and it's still valid today. Today. So the rest you can have wasn't for those who lived back then, but for those who would hear these words today. Hear the good news today. In fact, it's a rest that we should fear missing out on. It's so important, this rest, that we should say, man, I don't want to miss it. God, I want to do what you want. I want to do things your way. I want to enter the land. I want to do it the first time rather than wander for 40 years and miss out on all the rest, the peace that I could have had in you. You can come short of a lot of things and still be pleased with that outcome. You can say, I'm setting out to do 100 push-ups and you can do 90 of them and still feel pretty good about yourself. You can say, we want to save up for this car so we can buy it all cash and only make it to 80% and go, man, that's good. We've got 80% down. I mean, who does that, right? That'd be awesome. So there's some things that you can fall short of and yet still feel really good about it. But when it comes to experiencing the rest promised by God, falling short, even 1% short, is to miss 100% of the rest. All of it. An example, when my wife has dinner and then maybe a dessert, she will often tell my kids that you don't get the dessert. And they'll always ask what the dessert is. But you don't get the dessert unless you eat your food. It doesn't work this way. Well, if you only eat 50% of your food, you get to eat 50% of the dessert. It's you have to eat your food or the consequence is you do not get the dessert. What we found is it's okay to be gracious at times, but to always operate under, you didn't eat it all, but well, you get your dessert anyway. To operate that way is not good for the kids at all. And so there's this rest promised for those who follow him, who enter. We're going to talk about what that means a little bit as we go along. But basically it means to trust him. This is a faith. This is a rest entered by faith. Trusting him. And the reason that they don't get to enter is because they didn't go into the land that God had said, I will give you victory in this land. You go in. All you got to do is trust me. But they didn't go in. They had the same promises that we would have of victory. Hey, you trust me, you follow me, and you'll have victory. They, as well as we, have those kinds of promises. But he says that it didn't profit them. because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, they didn't apply it. They didn't take it, listen, and then do. They heard, they didn't walk. Did you know that hearing the word of God does a person no good unless he's willing to apply it by faith to his life? You can hear it, you can know it, you can quote it, but unless you apply it, it will do you no good. The light bulb won't go on. You won't understand. You won't own it. And one of the things I love about the Lord is he is able to lead us in such a way that we experience the trials that we need to, that we're able to weather the storms that we need to. It's not always perfect, because that wouldn't be good for us. And he certainly doesn't let us go trial free. Don't eat your vegetables. Don't eat your food and you'll get the dessert. I'm going to get everything done for you. You just relax. Like some, they pray for a job, but they don't go out and look for it. They say, well, when God wants me to have a job, he'll give me one. But the Lord's saying, I am leading you to one. Get up, go to this place. I have provided an interview, but you're saying that's not me because I didn't carry you there or make you appear or cause him to come to your door. The Lord leads us, but there are things that we need to do if we're going to enter this rest that he promises us. And what we need to do is simply hear and apply his word to our life. James gave us a great principle. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Following the Lord makes all the difference in our life. Trusting him when he leads. What I love about the Lord, as I said earlier, is he's able to lead us in such a way, he can even use our sinful hearts against us to get us in places where we'll learn the greatest lessons.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. I thought I was in control of certain things in my life. When I was in Albuquerque, I loved it there. I wanted to stay there. I'd still be there. But I remember taking a circumstance one time and I said, you know, I'd like to go somewhere else. I'm going to put in for somewhere else. And I was talking to someone else. I was just talking up a big game, making some moves, you know. And so, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I thought, I'll go because they kind of depend on me. So I'm like, I'm going to go. But then they'll say, no, we need you. No, we need you. And so a chief heard me, one of the chiefs from the tribe. No, one of the chiefs in the military. And he said, oh, great. There's this guy coming in who wants to come here, but we don't have a slot for him. And Neely wants to go somewhere. So we'll send him to San Antonio, Texas, because that's where that guy is going to go. But we need him here. So the chief came to me and said, hey, Neely, I got something that's going to make you excited. I'm like, well, what's that? Lay it on me. He said, you got orders. What? What do you mean? What do you mean I got orders? I heard you talking the other day, and I heard you want to go somewhere. I'm like, oh, I just want to go. I don't want to go anywhere. He says, well, it's too late. You're going now. So there I went. I was going to San Antonio, Texas. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave there. I wanted them to say they needed me. I did things, in such a way that God put me in a situation that I learned some lessons. One, I learned they didn't need me. I did a lot of things, but they didn't need me. Two, I learned that God had a plan for my life. And I wanted to learn to be faithful. I didn't know exactly what that meant yet. But I didn't want to manipulate or kid around or do those things anymore, because I saw the trouble that it can get you into. And you can actually miss out on what God wants to do by trying to fool around, take things in our own hands, manipulate circumstances. And it can really mess up our life. So it messed me up. I'm here in San Antonio. No, this is exactly, I think, where God wants me to be. Although I was afraid to come down here. I didn't know what you guys looked like. I thought everybody had low riders and headbands, and, you know, I didn't know what it was like down here. So here I am. Paved roads, technology, we've got everything that I was afraid we didn't have. But anyway, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Acting on what we hear so that we're not deceiving, we're not manipulating, we're not taking things into our own hands. And when God says, enter in the land, we enter the land, lest we miss out on what he wants to do and even the rest that he wants to give us. Verse 3, we read, for he who had believed, we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. This is important. He spoke of the seventh day, and this is how he spoke of that seventh day. He said, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Here's the context for the rest thing. What did he do before he rested? Worked. He didn't enjoy the rest or take the rest until he had worked. He did his work and he rested. Israel did not do what they needed to do in order to enter that rest promised by God. They didn't do the work part. Now, I know there's an emphasis today in some circles on the Sabbath. We got to rest. Many of us who say we got to rest haven't even earned a rest, but we got to have it. It's the law. But there's a bigger rest that God is talking about here. In fact, two rests. One rest, one's less complete than the other. Israel, in order to enjoy the rest here and now on earth, didn't do what they needed to, and so they never got to enter that rest. 12 spies were sent in to spy out the land. Now, they were already told by God, you got victory, go in there. We're going. And so the 12 spies should have just gone in, formalities, all right, here, this is great. Okay, yeah, looks good. They bring back the big grapes. That was fine. But they brought back the big grapes, and they said, but big people are eating these big grapes, and we can't handle those big people. We're scared of them. We can't do this. 10 of them, of the 12, came back saying they couldn't go in. They were afraid. 2 of them came back and said, let's go for it. That was Joshua and Caleb. By the way, after the 40-year wanderings, when all of the generation that were afraid did not get to go in, at least those two who were faithful, though they had to endure the 40 years of wandering with the unfaithful, at least those two were able to go in into the land, because God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. But what's interesting is that when they come back after the 40 years and they're facing another entry into the land, an opportunity to enter, Moses can't go in, but he gives the spiel in Deuteronomy, and he repeats the law and reminds them, this time, go in. You know, don't do like your parents did. Joshua's going to lead them in. Joshua sends in some spies, but he doesn't send in 12 spies. That seemed to be a bad number. In fact, the best number, 2. So Joshua sent in 2 spies. Said, maybe we can get a good report just sending 2 in. And sure enough, what they heard was amazing. Because those two, they would run into a woman named they would run into Rahab. And listen to what 40 years later, Rahab tells these spies. Now, we'll have it to project here, but it's Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them. This is where they were hiding in her house. She came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." The inhabitants of the land, these so-called giants that the Israelites were worried about, well, they were worried about the Israelites. 40 years ago, they could have gone in and taken these giants, because God had already prepared them. God had already prepared the way. All they had to do was not worry about themselves, not worry about how things looked, and trust the Lord. But unbelief kept them from obeying the Lord. They didn't believe him enough to do things his way, and so they missed out. Now get this, because they didn't do it God's way, that whole generation that was afraid to trust the Lord and let God take care of the situation, that whole generation, they didn't just delay the promises, they removed themselves completely from ever enjoying the promises. They missed out completely. If we don't do what we need to do, our part, by faith, we don't get to enjoy the rest that comes from it. You know, if you've gotten yourself, say, into debt, and you don't ask the Lord how he wants you to resolve that debt, trusting him, doing it his way, then there will be no rest for you. You can come up with ways to solve that problem. You can do that. But there will be no rest for you in it, because you're doing it. It's trusting in the Lord. It's putting our life in his hands where we find rest. When God has asked us to do something, to do it a certain way, or maybe to refrain from doing something because we think we got to control it. But he says, no, let it go. Trust me, leave it in my hands. Whenever God's asking certain things of us, we need to trust him if we want to enter that rest. There are times he asks us to tackle a job that we need to, and we look at that job and it's like, oh man, I can't do that. We just keep putting that job off. Maybe you need a special tool and I just don't want to get the tool. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be able to do it. I know the trouble is going to happen, and I don't know. I'm not going to tackle it. But then finally, you say, all right, I'm going to do it. And you buy the tool. Well, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so pricey. Okay, that was good. You get in there and you're rolling up your sleeves and you go, all right, I'm going to tackle this. And you tackle the job at hand and you do it. And you get it done and you're like, well, that wasn't quite as hard as I thought. Man, that was nice. That went better than I was hoping. And you look back and guess what? That thing that was always staring at you in the face, always there, always in front of you, it's gone.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in